Welcome to the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast from the Office of Academic Learning Environment at Chicago Medical School. I am your host, Dr. Les Sun. I'm the Assistant Dean for Faculty Talent Enhancement, also known as Faculty Development. I'm excited to share with you this podcast where I talk with a colleague and other experts in a range of disciplines about teaching, learning, and faculty development in medical education. I have a really special guest today who does something very, very unique, Dr. Ferdousian. So tell us a little bit about your background and what you're doing, because it's something very unique that not too many of our faculty see or are familiar with.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Dr. Sun. It's great to be with you. I end up wearing a lot of different hats. I'm an internal medicine and preventive medicine and public health doc. I've done a lot in the area of global public health, and now really kind of juggle advocacy work that I've always done, teaching, seeing patients, and a little bit of research still. I serve as a medical expert for Physicians for Human Rights, which is a nonprofit that, as the name would suggest, focuses on the promotion of human rights using medicine and science. And I also serve as a co-director of the Society for Asylum Medicine. I'm on faculty as an associate professor at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine. And I'm president and chief executive of another nonprofit organization called Phoenix Zones Initiative, which advances the interconnected rights, health, and well-being of people, animals, and the planet. We're really focused on social and environmental justice. And it was a pleasure to be with you the other day and talk about refugee health services and the needs of asylum seekers and how we could better meet them as doctors and as other health professionals.
And tell us a little bit about some of the advocacy work that you do and the processes you go through.
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of the advocacy that I've done over the years has really focused where I've spent my medical and professional career. So I've worked a lot in the area of human rights, especially in the area of torture and sexual violence. So advocating for individuals who are torture survivors and also survivors of sexual violence. And then on the other side of things, I've also spent a fair amount of time in advocacy working against animal exploitation. So I've spent a fair amount of the last 20 years doing what I can to advocate against human and animal exploitation and abuse.
And as providers, what should we know, and as faculty?
Yeah, another really great question. So, you know, just if we were to focus in the area of meeting the needs of refugees and asylum seekers, for example, what I spoke with you and your faculty about recently, there's so many things that people can do. One is, as with a lot of our other patients who have suffered through trauma-informed care, we can provide trauma-informed care. And so what does that mean? That means starting with some principles, basic respect for individuals, dignity, compassion, offering justice where we can, just care. And then, you know, realizing that, you know, many of our patients, whether they're refugees or not, have suffered through different forms of trauma. And we can be there to provide not just healthcare services, but other services that they might need to be healthy and well and thrive, whatever their circumstances are. The other thing that we can do for refugees and asylum seekers is, particularly for asylum seekers, and this is one area that I've worked in for the past, I think it's almost 19 years now, is forensic evaluations. So forensic medical and psychiatric evaluations. You know, what do I mean by that? Well, a lot of people who are seeking asylum in the U.S. Have histories of torture or other forms of abuse or ill treatment. And we can document objective evidence of objective medical or psychiatric evidence of torture, for example. And that just makes it that much more likely that asylum seekers can get asylum. Basically, anytime they have objective documentation of torture, that increases the likelihood that they will receive asylum. And, you know, there's a number of clinics that are popping up around the U.S. That serve asylum seekers in this way. We have a clinic, an asylum medicine clinic at University of New Mexico School of Medicine. There are others, you know, in New York, in Connecticut, on the West Coast. I don't believe there's one in Chicago just yet. But we sometimes, you know, launch those clinics with medical students. And so it's a great opportunity to involve medical students, medical residents, faculty, and interprofessional faculty and students, learners as well. There's a lot that can be done there. And, you know, it's important to point out that the forensic evaluations are separate from advocacy. When we do forensic evaluations, we assume an objective role. We are not an advocate for, you know, those asylum seekers who we're evaluating. We are there to perform an objective forensic evaluation that their legal representative, their attorney, or whoever that might be, can use in their case.
So what, you know, what could I as an individual do to help these asylum seekers and other abused immigrant population?
Yeah, so you can do a lot. Number one, as I mentioned earlier, you can provide trauma-informed care. You know, just meeting people where they're at and, you know, being aware that of the fact that they might have suffered from various forms of trauma, whether that's physical trauma, psychological trauma, or sexual trauma. It's important to be aware that asylum seekers and refugees, you know, might have suffered in their home countries or, you know, while they were escaping or en route to the U.S. where they're, for example, seeking asylum. The other thing that's really important is to be aware of resources in your community. You know, what are the legal resources available to asylum seekers, for example, in your community? There are a number of legal services that are available in Chicago. You know, what are the social services that are available? All of those things are important to be aware of, as they are for, you know, all of the patients that we serve. The other thing that you can do is just be aware of the medical and psychiatric sequela that many refugees and asylum seekers, you know, may be dealing with. So, for example, there are some common medical problems in refugees. And, you know, those can include things like infectious diseases if they, you know, didn't have access to vaccines for vaccine preventable diseases that you and I do. And it, you know, could be that they are at higher risk for H. pylori, you know, and therefore peptic ulcer disease. Important to think about, you know, the various communicable diseases that people can be exposed to, including tuberculosis. And then, you know, the mental trauma that people might have suffered through is important to be aware of. People who have suffered through, for example, torture and abuse in their own home countries or while in transit, they are at higher risk for post-traumatic stress disorder, for depression, for a range of psychiatric disorders, or, you know, psychiatric issues that don't necessarily qualify as disorders, but are still clinically significant.
And what suggestion would you have? It doesn't sound like we have much in our curriculum to address these patients, these unique issues and concerns. How would you integrate it into a curriculum, whether it be undergraduate medical or postgraduate medical?
So there's a lot that we can do as faculty to help learners develop knowledge and skills. And I would emphasize both components, knowledge and skills. And, you know, starting from an interprofessional perspective is really key. So, for example, physicians on faculty sitting down with people from a law school, if there's a law school, you know, just thinking about the range of people who might be able to work together to help populations that it's important to serve. And so, you know, thinking about ethics, thinking about social work, thinking about case management, all of those things is, you know, kind of important to think about from the beginning. And then, you know, using that interprofessional approach, identifying what are the best things for, you know, our learners at different stages of their learning, what is most important for them to know, you know, should they learn about international human rights documents, for example? Should they learn about, you know, our obligations from a medical ethics perspective? You know, how do we put those medical ethics principles into practice, you know, with populations like refugees and asylum seekers. And then, you know, offering a lot of different service learning opportunities is also really key. So, you know, an asylum medicine clinic can be one of those service learning opportunities, but also, you know, where are refugees, you know, intersecting with the healthcare system in other ways, you know, for example, at the Department of Health, you know, offering those opportunities to medical students or medical residents can be a really good window for learners.
What would you like the folks that are listening to the podcast know? Is there anything else that I didn't ask that you want everybody to know about?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of resources, maybe. One is that some colleagues and I recently, or I guess not so recently, maybe a couple of years ago, published an article on how to build in a health and human rights curriculum for various stages of learners. And then the other thing is, if you're interested in learning about how to do forensic medical or psychiatric evaluations, there are trainings available. Now there are a number of trainings available online in the midst of the COVID pandemic. We have some training materials through the Society of Asylum Medicine. Physicians for Human Rights has some training materials. Health Right International has some training opportunities. And so if you're interested, you know, there's a lot of resources available for you to learn more and to get more involved.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It really helped me get a better perspective on an area that I don't think about, although I do see patient immigrants, and I don't always know if they have trauma-related issues, if they were abused or neglected or tortured in their home country. So I think you raised a lot of awareness, at least as far as I'm concerned, and I hope that our listeners also will have that opportunity to get a better insight. And I think you mentioned some articles that you published and other materials that you'd recommend. And anything else that we can, you know, those that really want that knowledge can get along the way?
Yeah, I would say one of the places you can go is our Society of Asylum Medicine. We have a website where there's open access to a range of different materials if you just want to get your feet wet.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ferdousian. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today, and I think you provided some great insight to our listeners. Thank you again.
Thank you, Dr. Sun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast, brought to you by the Office of Academic Learning Environment at Chicago Medical School. For additional podcasts, educational lectures, learning modules, opportunities for continuing medical education credit, CME, and more, please Google CMS Faculty Development and learn more about what we have to offer.